The purpose of the Moments with the Book program is to bring to you the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel is contained in the Word of God. The Word of God is the book. It is the book of books. And from a passage of this book, I would ask that you turn today. In Romans chapter 10, we hear the Apostle Paul telling us of his desire that Israel might be saved. Brethren, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And it is our heart's desire, dear listening friend, that you today might be saved. Unless you are saved, you are lost. And if you continue to be lost, you'll be lost forever. But this is the day of salvation. The Apostle Paul had something to say about his children of Israel. He said, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. How many there are today who have a desire in a way for God, who take the name of God, who profess to be religious, but have not yet received the knowledge of the true God through the Lord Jesus Christ? No man cometh unto the Father but by him. No man can know God as Father save through the acceptance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul goes on to say that they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness. This is what people today do. When they begin to get a little exercised about sin, they think that they should become religious. Maybe they try to turn over new leaves. Maybe they'll join a church or be baptized. Oh, dear friend, all these things are just an establishment of one's own righteousness, which is not sufficient for being accepted by God. He goes on to say that they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Have you submitted yourself to the righteousness of God? In God's righteousness, for instance, in his righteous verdict against you, he says that you have sinned. And in his righteous provision for you, he says that Christ has died for your sins. He wants that you should accept that. He wants that you should submit yourself unto what he has done. And when you do, then you will be made the righteousness of God in him. But you cannot work up righteousness of your own. Oh, dear friend, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It is the purpose of these Moments with the Book to set forth the gospel to be believed, to be acknowledged as that which comes from God, that which has been sent. You notice he goes on to say, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And yet whoever kept the law? In fact, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And in fact, if anyone would keep the law of Moses, it never would have given him eternal life. Keeping the law was that which promised long life on earth, and that alone. Oh, dear friend, and the law was only given to the Jew to prove that man was absolutely ungodly and helpless to do anything for his salvation. But Paul goes on to say, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. No, it is not in your heart, nor in mine, nor in anyone else's, to desire that Christ should come down from heaven for us. Our hearts by nature, dear friend, were enmity against God. Not one would have desired Christ to come. Not one would have conceived the plan of salvation, that Christ should die and be raised again. But, beloved friend, dear listening friend, the word that God has given tells us that it is even in thy mouth. He has brought it. He has brought it right where you are. In your mouth, in your heart, it's the word of faith which we preach. And as the word of God comes to you today via radio, it is that which is his power to salvation if you will believe. You don't have to turn over a leaf. You don't have to move an eyelash. The word of God comes to you, right to your mouth, that it might be received by faith in your heart. That he goes on to say, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that is good news. That is the gospel. And if there's anyone listening today who desires to be saved, there's enough in that verse to tell you God's plan of salvation. As we have already considered, He desires your salvation. He wishes that you might be made righteous in Him, and He has the way. He has the provision for you in His beloved Son, if you will but submit to it. And submitting to His righteousness, to His salvation, is by confessing with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, and believing in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead for you, and God says, thou shalt be saved. But now I would ask that you turn with me to the scripture where this passage is quoted from, in Deuteronomy chapter 30. You know, the book of God, the Old and New Testament alike, is His word from cover to cover. In the Old Testament, we have the pictures of the New. And in it we see, in the words to Israel, God's plan of salvation, and it is through faith, and it is also coupled with a word of warning. And I would today desire to point out from this 30th chapter of Deuteronomy just a couple of things, dear friend. And I wish to preface my remarks with these words, choose life. They are found in the passage that we're going to read. Choose life. You have a choice to make. The Lord says, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. There are only two ways in the world. There's the broad way that leadeth to destruction. There is a narrow way that leadeth unto life. The Lord says, I have set before thee this day life and good. There is life found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God's provision, the one who came into the world and gave His life in death, is the one who is the life, the one who alone is good and has good for mankind. There is nothing good without Him, dear friend. You might have tasted many good things in this life, but they all will come to an end. And all has been tainted by sin, spoiled by the results of sin, and you know it. The opposite of good is evil, and everything that is not in accord with God and His truth, Christ and His love and righteousness, is evil, and it ends in death. Oh, there are many ways, many opinions, but there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Choose life. Now the Lord goes on to say, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. If one has chosen life and wishes to be saved, he accepts the Lord as his Savior, and because he is his Savior, he will love him. I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Involved in being brought to God, being saved, is having love for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no love in our hearts naturally for him, but if we get a glimpse of the cross, if you have ever seen Jesus dying for you out of love for you, and realize it was for you He shed His blood and suffered such agony on the cross, oh, you will love Him too. Love Him. Those who know Him, those who choose life, love Him. Next we read, walk in His ways and keep His commandments. Those who choose life are those who are walking with Him in the narrow way that leads to life. When one accepts Christ as a Savior, he receives immediately eternal life. That is what the Lord says, He that believeth on me hath a present possession, everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment. But you know, dear friend, we walk with Him, the one who has given us this life. We do not walk to receive life. We walk in His ways because we have life. So then, one who has accepted Christ as his Savior will manifest that he belongs to the Lord by walking in His ways and keeping His commandments and His statutes and His judgments. That is, in a word, keeping the Word. The Lord Himself says in John 14, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Being saved, dear friends, is a real thing. It means that you have genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this true of you? The Lord goes on to say, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Mind you, the God who loves you, and loves you with a love that is infinite, unfathomable, a love that passeth knowledge, dear friend, and do not doubt this, he doesn't love your sins, but he loves you, and he has provided for your sins. And yet, he is the one who warns that if you turn away from him, if you will not hear his word, and you're drawn away after your own lust, to do your own will, to do your own thing, and you worship other gods, anything else but Christ is an idol, dear friend, if it comes between you and God. And you serve pleasure, you serve lust, you serve your own will. Oh, friend, you're on the way to eternal ruin. The Lord says, I denounce unto you this day, ye shall surely perish. I repeat, there is a way that seemeth right that you're traveling, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ye shall surely perish. Perishing is dying in your sins. It is being raised in your sins. It'll mean to be consigned to eternal punishment for your sins and banished from the presence of God forever. That's what it means to perish. Oh, if you're not saved, you're perishing now. You're on your way to perish. And you will not prolong your days on the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. Some people seem to think that they're going to live here all forever. Many there are who provide, for instance, for their retirement, and yet time after time, a man who has prepared for retirement soon passes away and can't enjoy it. Oh, friend, life is uncertain. Death is real. Eternity is real. Will you not consider this? God desires that you should not perish. In that wonderful word, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's desire for you. That's what he wishes you to choose. But if you do not hear, if you turn away your heart from him, if you're drawn away after your own lust to do your own will, to walk in the way of the world, he says, I denounce you, ye shall surely perish. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. You've heard the gospel of the grace of God. You have a word, the Bible, in your hands, in your home. You've read it. Oh, dear friend, but have you heeded it? Have you received the one whom it sets forth? Have you been brought to repentance because of your sin? And have you turned and looked at the cross and seen that blessed one dying for you? Oh, he says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Life and death, what opposites? If you are not saved, you're spiritually dead now. And if you continue that way, you will die in your sins. And Jesus said, whither I go, ye cannot come. But the way of life is set before you. The way of life is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again. His resurrection life he offers to you now by faith. If you come in repentance and believe on him, you enter the way of life. You receive life. And there's no doubt as to the end. When you die, it'll be to be with Christ, which is far better. There is either blessing or cursing for you. The way of blessing, the way of cursing. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Cursed is the man who maketh not the Lord his trust. Which shall it be? What is it in regards to yourself? The Spirit of God then says through Moses, therefore choose life. Oh, dear friend, we would urge today that you would choose life. You have a choice to make. It is yours. It's not by chance whether you're saved or not. The Lord sets life and death, blessing and cursing before you. Choose life, that thou mayest live, and that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says to the Corinthians, let him be anathema. Oh, let him be accursed. Dear friend, do you love the Lord Jesus? Honestly now, face the question. Do you love him because he first loved you? Oh, it's not your love for him that's going to save you. But if you see him as the one that died for you and gave his life for you, shed his blood for you, you will love him. and then that thou mayest obey his voice. Have you obeyed the voice of the Lord? The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I'll nowise cast out. Have you obeyed the gospel? The gospel says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It says, repent and believe the gospel. Have you obeyed that voice? Oh, if you don't obey that voice, you will perish. And Peter says, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, have you obeyed his voice? Have you come to him? You have either come or you have not. There is no neutral ground that you could take. But, dear friend, we would urge that you would also cleave unto him. In this word cleave, I see what faith really is. Faith is adhering to him. It's taking him at his word. It's trusting him. It's leaning upon him. You've come to an end of your own resources. You have no strength of your own. You're lost and undone. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you cleave unto him. It's saying what faith really is. Forsaking all, I take him. Choose life. I draw attention in closing to one man who did this. Abner, he was a man after Saul. But after Saul was killed, he identified himself with David. He had at one time been identified with the wrong man, Saul. He was identified with the wrong cause. But he made a choice, and he turned to David. And he gives a word in the 17th verse of 2 Samuel chapter 3 that I just close with. Abner communicated with the elders of Israel and said, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you, and these are the words, now then do it. Now then do it. You have had the way of life and death presented to you today, the way of blessing and the way of cursing. What are you going to choose? In your folly, you will not, will you? Oh, dear friend, do not be foolish to choose death. But you know, all you have to do to choose death is to go on as you are and not turn to Christ and choose life. Choosing life is a positive action of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Abner says, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you, now then do it. You must do it. You must make the choice. We ask that you do it today, that you do it right now by your radio. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Make him your king, the king of your life, the Lord of your soul. Believe on him. Choose life, that it may be well with you. God grant then today that in these few moments with the book, the gospel of his salvation available to you and the claims that are urged upon you, oh dear friend, will lead you to choose life by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God grant it for his name's sake. Loving God our Father, we ask that thou will bless thy word today. Using the scriptures that have been read, the Spirit of God will take them and draw souls to thyself by Jesus Christ. May many today choose life by choosing the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior who died for them and rose again. We ask it, giving thee thanks, and expect thy blessing to be revealed in the coming day. In the name of our blessed Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.